This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with Lim Soo Ann and Sumitra Selvaraj. As always, we have two stories for you today.
Our first story is about the Poisons Act Amendment Bill 2019 that was tabled for its first reading in Parliament last week, and it generated quite a bit of conversation about the inclusion of mandatory prescriptions upon request and the possible criminalisation of doctors who deny those prescriptions. So we take a closer look at these amendments and what it means for both doctors and patients. The Health Ministry last week has tabled an amendment to the Poisons Act 1952 in Parliament, and that is to legislate patients' requests for drug prescriptions from their doctor. Mm. So according to a list on the Parliament's official website, the Poisons Amendment 2019 bill was tabled last Monday, the 25th of November, by the Health Minister, Dato Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad.
So the new bill, if passed, will make it mandatory for doctors to provide prescriptions upon request from patients, and if the doctors fail to do so, they will be guilty of an offence that is punishable by a maximum 3,000 ringgit fine or up to 1 year's imprisonment or perhaps even both.
Mm. So the amendment bill proposes an additional subsection 2A to section 19 of the Poisons Act on the supply of poisons for the purpose of treatment. Mm-hmm. The new subsection says that, and I'm quoting, a registered medical practitioner, registered dentist or registered veterinary surgeon shall, upon request from his patient or client, issue a prescription for the sale or supply of such poison for the purpose of medical or dental treatment of such patient or animal treatment of animal tended by him, respectively.
Mm. Yeah, so another amendment that was also proposed to Section 19.4 stated that registered medical practitioners, dentists or veterinary surgeons who decline to issue a prescription upon request by his patient or client shall be guilty of an offence. So what does this all mean? It's quite a lengthy quote. It's a lot of words. So I spoke to Dr. Thirunavukara Suraju earlier today. He's the Honorary General Secretary of the Malaysian Medical Association. And first, here's him explaining what is the current situation when it comes to patients' prescription rights.
Under the current provision under the law, if a patient requests for a prescription, the doctors will give. It is already in the law. It is already under the good medical practice. It is already under the good dispensing practice and also under the Code of Professional Conduct by the Malaysian Medical Council. And moreover, this right is also stipulated in the Private Healthcare Facilities and Services Act. And you have Part 14 policy under Section 24, policy statement, Section 26, billing procedures, Section 27, patients' rights, and also Part 16 under the grievance mechanism, Section 40. So it is clearly these two acts, Medical Act and also PHFSA, both the acts have clearly stated their rights. So the patient's right, it has always been there.
So now, what do these amendments to the Poisons Act mean then? And how will it affect the current way that prescriptions are given? The MMA has criticised the government for not consulting stakeholders before pushing these legal amendments, especially as they involve criminalising doctors. And Dr. Arasu said that this has been a long-running discussion and that there are already regulations in place, when it comes to prescriptions.
This has been discussed in Rang Undang-Undang Pharmacy Workshop, which was held in Port Dickson in 2015. Two of the issues issued then was mandatory prescription and also dispensing separation. And there was an agreement achieved that all these things is only possible if, after all, they want to have it under one single payer system. That's one. Mm-hmm. Number two is that having a mandatory prescription under the Poison Act is over-regulation, and this is an ethical issue. If there is an ethical issue, they should refer the registered medical practitioner to the relevant authorities. That means you either refer them to the Malaysian Medical Council or you refer them to the Medical Practice Division under the Ministry of Health or CCAPS.
Mm-hmm.
So it is already there. So why do they want to regulate? There's already two acts regulating us. Why the third one? So this is what we ourselves are very puzzled. And why is it done in a harsh way? And if you really look at the various regulations apart from this in the Act, a lot of things there are not properly worded. example is Section 34B. Evidence of agent provocator is admissible. And our worry is that the section number one is weak and it needs more clarification. See, the agent provocator's evidence would be highly prejudicial and the section is taken off the right of the court to exercise its duty to weigh the evidence before admission. So this section merely allows the court only to interpret the legislation and not to add new elements. So this is some of the things that the Malaysian Medical Association, we have picked it up. And then, in fact, we have already written to the Honorable Health Minister on our objection on this particular bill. And we feel that the bill should be withdrawn and immediate stakeholders engagement should be called. And then they may have good intention on certain areas, but it is always prudent for them to engage. Mm-hmm. We were not consulted.
So you can imagine why the MMA has also questioned the need to include criminalizing doctors' refusal to provide prescriptions upon request, right? Because as they very clearly mentioned, there are already avenues for public complaints.
MMA is totally against in criminalizing doctors on petty issues. On ethical issues, there's a channel to reprimand the practitioner, that's number one. Okay. Even though we are aware that the prison sentence has been there even previously, mm-hmm. In fact, MMA has been fighting to remove prison sentence even in the Private Healthcare Services Act for the last 13 years. And we do not want to be at another act that's coming in and want to criminalize the doctors. Can you imagine a doctor can be jailed if he or she refuses to take prescription and the clause on the mandatory prescription itself is so weak, that could be subject of abuse. So what is going to happen to the profession? So the question is that what the public should be asking, why is there another law coming to regulate the doctor on the issue of prescription when there are already two other laws? And secondly, the Malaysian Medical Council, it publishes in its annual report all the doctors who have been brought up to the council for any ethical issues. If they are reprimanded or whatever punishment, it is already in the public domain.
So that was Dr. Thirunavukarasu Raju, the Honorary General Secretary of Malaysian Medical Association. Mm. And besides the MMA, there are other doctors' groups who have spoken out. So, for example, the Federation of Private Medical Practitioners Association Malaysia, and they represent doctors in private practice in our country. They've said that the Poisons Act was not the appropriate law to govern the practice of medicine because this is regulated by the Medical Act 1971, which they say has sufficient provisions on doctors' prescription practice.
So pharmacists, on the other hand, have previously lobbied for mandatory prescriptions regardless of patients' requests. Mm-hmm. The Malaysian Pharmaceutical Society President Amrahi Buang in August called for a review of the current government policy that mandates prescriptions only upon patients' requests rather than a blanket rule.
And so despite that, the new bill only speaks of mandatory prescriptions upon request rather than making it just compulsory for doctors to give it regardless of whether your patients ask for it or not. The Malaysian Pharmaceutical Society has still voiced their support for this bill because it is a midway point between having a totally mandatory bill versus having no prescriptions given at all. So I spoke to Amrahi earlier today and he said that this is a step forward for patient and medication safety.
Currently, the choice is not given to the patient. The choice is not given to the patient, meaning under the current process flow, the patient can only take the medicine from the clinic. So the patient don't have a choice. So this new policy or this agreed policy will enable to give the patient a choice to get their medicine either from the clinic as well, or they can get the prescription, and then they can get the medicine from any community pharmacy. Mm-hmm. So this choice is actually given to patients. So I think from the point of the patient, I think this is good for the patient.
So that was Amrahi Buang, President of Malaysian Pharmaceutical Society.
So let's just kind of clear it up, right? Mm-hmm. There are two types of medicines that you can find in a pharmacy. The over-the-counter medicines, the OTCs, mm-hmm. and the controlled medicines.
Right.
So OTC drugs are the ones that you find on display, like paracetamol, for example, right? Others are kept in a special enclosed area. You see those glass-shelled, glass cases behind the pharmacist. And these medicines that are behind the pharmacist are known in the law as Group B and Group C poisons under the Poisons Act 1952. And this is because the ones kept in the back area, when misused, actually can have really adverse effects mm-hmm. or even be poisonous to you if taken in the wrong dosage or at the wrong time.
Mm. So under Section 21 of the Poisons Act, Group B medicines, which are the ones that you just mentioned, can only be sold with a prescription from a doctor, a dentist,
Correct.
Or a vet. And pharmacists may only sell these medications when presented with such a prescription. Mm-hmm. The prescription is required to have a maximum validity of 3 months. And so once it expires, you'll have to renew your prescription yeah. with your doctor, dentist, or your vet.
Correct.
But on the other hand, Group C medications are the ones that pharmacies can dispense without a doctor's prescription. And these are usually for treatment of minor ailments mm-hmm. like skin allergies or colds, flu, minor flu, which pharmacists are actually trained to recognize.
And they should be able to dispense those with you, mm-hmm. or dispense those to you without any problem. But let's be completely honest about this and put our cards on the table. Every one of us in this room knows that we can walk into pharmacies here in Malaysia and get Group
sure,
B and Group
yeah.
C medications without that much of a fuss from a pharmacist. Mm-hmm. You don't have to present a prescription. I just think that this is the idea that, you know, doctors should provide prescriptions is a safety net, not just for the doctors, but for the patients themselves. Health literacy is so low here in Malaysia.
Yeah, and perhaps with a prescription in hand, patients will take that step to understand what is actually on that prescription, right? Rather than just getting your medications from the doctor and taking it, being like, oh, okay, this is for fever, this is for flu, whereas now maybe for some of us, maybe we will do the extra research and find out more about the medicine.
I actually think it's a great idea. I like the idea of divesting that the whole that the doctor going to the GP versus going to the pharmacist. And I don't think, I feel, doctors should be selling medicines. I think pharmacists should be selling medicines.
I guess that whole argument of dispensing separation is an ongoing issue, mm-hmm. right? And I think we'll just keep an eye on that for now. And I think with regards to this amendment bill as well, the health minister has said that they are taking into account these objections. They will look into it, especially when it comes to the penalties, I think, for doctors or dentists or vets. And he promises to review the bill and suggest improvements as soon as possible. So.
And I don't think that, you know, anybody is out here to demonize doctors. Mm. What the health ministry is doing is in the best interests of its main stakeholder, which, as far as I'm concerned, are the Rakyat.
Mm-hmm. And we did have a really interesting comment that came in.
We're really delighted that Sarah Abdullah, who's the treasurer of the Malaysian Community Pharmacy Guild, wrote in via WhatsApp and to say, I'm of the opinion that the government has always advocated for accessibility and affordability of medicines for the Rakyat. In my opinion, the amended bill doesn't go far enough in achieving the goal of accessibility or affordability. If the minister truly wants to achieve this, he should propose a bolder policy of giving the patients their right to the prescriptions, whether upon request or not. This half measure doesn't achieve any goals or please any stakeholders. I completely agree with you, Sarah.
Well, if you have any thoughts to share on this issue, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. We do need to take a quick break, but before that, here's Johnny Cash with I Walk the Line.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.